This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Here I am. Oh man, mine was a little shaky. Here I am. It's early, guys. What is it? It's 7:19 in the morning in Los Angeles. I'm up. Noah, wait, you're in Arizona. You guys don't switch time zones. You're same right now.
Yeah, I'm the same as you.
And then we're going to fall back and you're going to stay where you are. At some point, we're going to be before you.
Okay, now
is that the Arizona way? Arizona doesn't do time zones. You guys don't do daylight saving.
Yeah, we're mountain time. Mountain person.
But right now you're Pacific time.
Yep.
So you just said you're mountain time, but sometimes you're mountain, sometimes you're Pacific.
I don't know. I just, you know what? Honestly, I'm in so many different time zones because I work east. Like I have family and stuff East Coast. Work with people in Pacific time. You're in Central time. I'm all over the place.
I know.
There is no time.
It's unbelievable how much confusion it can cause and how basic math can evade me when I'm figuring. Sometimes I just am like, and I'm always someone who like makes the time the person I'm talking to's time because I don't want them to have to do the math. But then I do the math and it's all wrong. And then they think I'm doing my time because most people talk from their own time zone space. And it's just a big old mess. It's early. I got like 6 hours of sleep. That's pretty good. I feel like seven or eight is like what people need, right? Mm-hmm. That's like what people are like, yeah, that's what you, yeah. So I feel good about that. I mean, yesterday was a long day. I have the longest day today. Yesterday was a short day. I'm doing a TV show that I can't say that I'm on, but it's a show that's been on forever. And today is hair and makeup arrives at 8:30. So this is going to be a shorter podcast today, guys. Just a warning. It's going to be a little over an hour. And then I got in trouble yesterday, though, because hair and makeup So I went from doing the podcast right into a fitting for the two looks that I needed for yesterday's part of the show and today's part of the show. I looked slamming. My stylist killed it. Worth the money. So good. I felt like so stylish. I got so many compliments from like people who know fashion like really well on this show. And they're like, where's that top? And I'm just like, I don't know. I literally like stand there. And yesterday I was like getting my hair and makeup done. We were running late and they were putting earrings in my ear. I didn't even know what earrings I was wearing. I just held out a hand and they put the rings on. Very glamorous.
Can we drop a fashion egg?
Can I drop a fashion egg?
Well, for the people on the show to compliment you is huge.
Yes.
Because they're right. Very much aware of good fashion.
Right. Okay, I can drop a fashion egg because I'm going to say something. Hold on. Let me just, hold on. Because first of all, I had to learn all new terminology to work on this show. Because it's a culture, like I've been using the word privy a lot. And I said it yesterday twice in just conversation. I go, I think I'm probably going to bust out a privy tomorrow on the show if I could predict it. And I just, I'm not privy to their conversation. I don't know why privy is in my head sometimes. Sometimes I just get new vocab words and it just sticks. And so I had to like really do a lot of research so I could be a proper ally to the people who make and are on the show and the culture around the show. But they were like, people were flipping for my outfit yesterday. It felt so good. And I just said to, I was talking to a guy on the show that, who is always very fashionable. And I go, what do you do? Like, do you have stylists? Like, this is kind of, it's too expensive for me to like exist in this business anymore because I need to look good every time I do something that's like, you know, I used to just hire my stylist for things that were, a lot of eyes are on this. And now I'm getting asked to do things that every time it's a lot of eyes on it. And then, and I just feel the disappointment in my stylist voices when I'm like, I'm going to dress myself for this one. They're like, can you just send us a couple pictures of what you have? Because we're just a little worried. Today I'm wearing Whitney Cummings merch for her show. Good for you. She has the best merch. We're getting merch too. I just approved a t-shirt design yesterday that is going to the shop to print. It will be available on tour. I hope it will be available in my merch store on my website. I think there's still stuff up there. Like we're just like clearing house. So if you go on my website and look at the merch, you can go buy some stuff that like old merch, but it's all really cute as shit. I make sure the designs are like actually wearable and don't say like a punchline that there's no context. Nothing bothers me more than a comedian shirt that has some kind of joke that you're like, even the person who saw the show, maybe that night they're drunk and they buy the shirt and they're like, I love that punchline. The punchline's like, well, I didn't say a cow could buy it. And it's like, okay. And you're like, oh my God, that's a great, I loved that joke. I'm going to buy the shirt. And then your friends go, what is this? I didn't say a cow could buy it. What is that joke? And you're like, I don't really know. I don't remember. Like I said yesterday, you don't remember funny jokes. And so God, some people's merch is just terrible. I just can't believe the confidence some people fucking have in this business. I was talking to Fortune Feimster last night about it. We ran into each other at Supernova. I did two sets last night after a long ass day. And but it was really fun. I got David Spade on the first show. I made him come with me. We went to dinner and then I drug him over there. His set was so funny. He followed me. Like I went first. I brought him up. Then I went back and just sat at one of the tables and watched his set. And my body made noises. I laughed in ways that I didn't. Laughs came out of me unpredictably. And it was so fun. And I was laughing so loud that people were turning around. And I wasn't trying to be one of those laughers that's like, look at me. You just saw me on stage and now I'm back here laughing. Isn't it funny? Like, because there were people looking like, oh, Nikki Glaser's watching. Because I brought him up, like, this is my favorite comedian ever. Funniest person I know, David Spade. And so I was back there. It just seemed like I was, like, showing off. Like, see, I told you I liked him, but I was laughing. I could not believe how funny he was. He has this joke where he's like, it's one of my favorite jokes because it's just so subtle and hilarious. But he goes, I have one of those friends that just, like, anytime I take a pill, like, they're just like, hey, can you give me one? Like any kind of, like, just, you know, these people that are just like, He's talking about heroin and how like fentanyl is the new heroin. And like, if you're a pussy, if you do heroin, yeah, I'm going to just do heroin to take the edge off. But like, you know, fentanyl's, I think it's like 1,000 times something stronger than heroin or something. He's like, couldn't we go like 5 times stronger? We had to go 1,000. And that's like David Spade's humor, because yesterday, did you hear about the 17 million gallons of human waste that was accidentally put into the ocean here? Just dumped into the LA ocean, right? There was a plant that had a malfunction, a clog, because Andrew's been flushing his wipes. I'm serious. These clogs are caused by people flushing their goddamn wipes. The system overflowed. The plant was going to have like an explosion of shit, like everywhere, flooding the streets, like flooding the plant. It would have been a total meltdown in this place. That was only, I think it was like 15% of the human waste was 17 million gallons of the day's waste. 17 million gallons was purposefully let into the ocean to make sure that even more wasn't, because they were about to have a plant shut down because it was flooding. And so they dumped all the waste into the ocean. 17 million gallons over July 11th and 12th. Carlisle like went swimming in it over the weekend too. Like she was in like Malibu swimming, and I think it happened like a little further up, but it was like 17 million gallons. But Spade was like, I was on set all day yesterday, so I didn't get this like LA news bulletin until I got it to dinner, and Carlisle was like, did you hear about the 17 million gallons? And Spade's like, yeah, they said it could have been worse. Because I read all the articles later too, and it was like, it could have been worse. We did this to prevent worse. And he goes, 17 million feels like a lot. Like, it's just like, can we just acknowledge that, like, I get it could have been worse, but 17 million, like, it's a lot. But Spade was talking about this guy that takes pills all the time. And he's like, I have a buddy that's just like, every time I take a pill, he's like, hey, man, give me one. Come on. And he goes, dude, you don't even know what this is. This is like, this is for my sinus infection. He goes, I don't care, man. I'm married. Just give me one. Like saying I'm married as a reason. He goes, come on. And he goes, dude, like, I can't. You, what is this going to do? It's just going to make you like drowsy. He goes, I don't care. I have kids, dude. I just want to feel anything other than what I feel. It's so funny to say I'm married as like a symptom. It was just so perfect because he just did this character of this guy that's just like, dude, I'm married. Like that explains it enough. I just thought it was like the funniest line. He has this whole bit about Fauci. He has all these jokes that I go, and he has his special Take the Hit, which if you haven't heard it, it's from like the 90s. One of my favorite specials actually was a special that I got turned on to by the guy that I lost my virginity to when I was in Kansas City. I was like, really good friends with like the, in my opinion and everyone's opinion, the best joke writer in town. I was just like, he was just brilliant and cool and fun, and had a girlfriend, and that was attractive to me because I'm scared of intimacy, and so it keeps them at an arm's length. And I lost my virginity to him, but he was the one that was like, have you seen David Spade's Take the Hit? And I was like, no. And then we listened to it, and I just couldn't believe it. And I told Spade, I'm like, bring those jokes back. People don't even, I want to hear those again. Those are the type of comedians joke, a lot of comedians jokes you don't want to hear again because the surprise is taken out of it. But his is so packed with like, it's almost like a comedy movie you want to watch again. And I was like, yeah, bring those back and like add more to it. I don't know. It's just, I'm just so, but I was talking to Fortune Feimster about people that have so much confidence, and I feel, oh, we were talking about money and how, what we do with it and how we manage it. And she's someone that was saying that, you know, she is very like, looks at every, like knows every cent that's coming in, knows every cent that's leaving, is almost like she gives the bill to her wife to, when they go out to eat, because she'll be tempted to leave a lower tip because she grew up poor and grew up where her family had money and then spent it all, like squandered it in a way. And so she's constantly like monitoring it. So when I say to people, if you don't spread your wealth, stop listening to my podcast, I'm talking to Fortune. No, I do understand that there's a lot of psychological issues around money. But if you have the ability, you need to find a way to surmount those and work it out. But it was just interesting because I go, Fortune, I'm the opposite. You know, I don't like, I want to give someone, I want to give someone the bill so that they don't, I don't even want to look at the bill. Most of the time I just go, I just write in a number that is way above, and then I just don't even add it up because I don't want to see how much it is. Not because it stresses me out, but because I just don't want to look at money. I just want a husband to do it. That's what I really want a partner for. And instead of being, and you know, I just told you, if you're frugal with money, to like work on yourself so you're not. I don't want to work on my money things. I just want someone to come in, because I was telling Fortune, I'm like, I could be better about it and like, you know, force myself to look at my stuff, educate myself. I don't want to. I just, I'm not interested in it. I just want a husband to do it, or a wife, or, you know, like a partner. That's why I have a business manager. But I just want someone else to do the things I don't want to do. Noah, do you relate? Does Avi do anything in your relationship that you're like, I'm really glad there's someone to take this role, because if I was a single person, it wouldn't be getting done?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, it's negotiating.
Mm.
Because I'm such a pushover when it comes to that. Like, I just want to pay people whatever they ask.
Yeah.
But sometimes people ask for higher, expecting you to negotiate them down. So he's like, whenever we do stuff like that, like if we have to take the car to like the mechanic,
mm-hmm.
or now we're hiring people to work on the house, like a plumber or whatever.
Yeah, you just moved into
a new
house.
I'll make the appointment. Yes. I'm like, I'll make the appointment, but you deal with it, because I can't.
Yeah.
I'll just give them whatever they want.
I do the same. I give them more. I'm like, you know what? I'll give you what you want. Plus, if you do a good job, I'll like give you more. I always do that. And we were talking about, is it about control too? Like, do I like to be generous so that people owe me something or they like me more? And I don't think it's that. I really think it's like, get this money away from me. I don't like having this much. And it makes me feel like I'm going to owe. If I have too much money, it's just going to, I don't know. I'm complaining about stuff that I'm sure people are like, shut the fuck up. We don't want to hear about how much money you have. And you know, you can't look at it. It's just there's just things that bubble up that I'm just like, man, a husband would be nice. Like this weekend when that guy was creepy, like someone who cares about me beyond I'm paying them to care about me. Because, you know, I have an assistant who's like caters to my needs when she's on the clock. I have friends who open for me who are there to kind of mitigate, but essentially they don't, and they do love me, but they don't, they also have their own lives, and I just want someone. But that again, that brings me back to the narcissist thing, Noah, like of, do I want some, I want someone to take care of me. Am I willing to take care of someone else? And I think I am. I'm not going to look at anyone's money, but I'll do things that I'm good at. I don't really know what I'm good at. I mean, a couple sex stuff things. Man, on stage last night, I was talking about, people just are horrified by the things I admit on stage. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I have this new bit that I stumbled into last night, and it opened something up that really resonated with people. And I'm going to like bite my tongue and not share it, but it was nice to like stumble into something, because I was following, like, Bill Burr was in the room. I always get so nervous when Bill Burr's in the room. Spade is watching me. I'm just like, can you guys, like, I mean, I really asked Spade, I'm like, can you not watch me? And then it's like a whole thing of like, I have to go leave now. And I'm like, you know what, just fucking stay. I'll just like disappoint you, and you'll probably not want to go to dinner with me again. Let's get Andrew in here and I'm rambling a lot today. But it's going to be a fun show. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast, because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know, because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues, like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town, because these shows used to just be in LA, and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person. And do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hey, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning. Top of the arch to you.
Arch it up.
Arch it up.
David Archuleta.
How? Yeah. I love him. Oh, my God. His song Crush is one of my favorites. He had the single right after he, you know, got second on American Idol. I don't know what he placed, but it's like, it's called Crush and it's great. It's one of the most underrated pop songs. And I really recommend it if anyone out there likes David Archuleta. So great poll. How'd you sleep last night?
I slept good until I got the midnight shits.
Oh no. My God. Yeah. Midnight shits. Wait, was it from more chicken salad the night before? It's 3 a.m. I must be shitting. Wait, what? Okay, so you woke up, rumbly tummy.
Yeah, you know.
Were you with friends?
I was with Brent. I felt kind of weird.
And then you went in the bathroom. Has she heard you shit? Has she heard your asshole clear out before?
She's heard my stand-up, yeah. I told her when I came back to bed that I had the shits, and so I'm very open about it. But you know, the shit sucked because your brain is not awake. It's not like a brain awake of your sleep. You're still asleep, and you're zombieing up. And it was one of those shits. Have you ever had it where you poop, you get back in bed, then you got to poop. You think you're done. You think you finished, and then you got to poop again.
No.
Yeah.
I've never had midnight shits. No. Mm-mm. I mean, unless I was like sick and then your body like wakes you up. I mean, I guess your body had to get something out. What I'm guessing you ate some shit yesterday. Something gross?
I had cauliflower pizza.
Oh, that's, well, the way you say it's gross, but I just, cauliflower, really, it bothers me.
Cala?
Cauli. Yeah, cauliflower. Wait, you say cauli too, don't you, Noah? It's just like a child, pischetti and cauliflower. It's just like how a baby would say cauliflower pizza. You love that cauliflower pizza. Cauliflower. And you say cauliflower. You say Lee. Cauliflower.
There is an I in there.
Like
though,
Robert
somewhere.
E. Lee. I know, but it's cauli. Lit. Like the I is a li. But I guess you can, a lot of people say cauliflower, and I just think it just sounds a little bit like Pollyanna. Like, oh, mama, are you making cauliflower pizza tonight? Like, it's just a little like.
Okay, how fun is right. that?
It
That's
is
pretty fun.
but
yeah, so that was entertaining. You know, I used to have, when my parents were going through.
I don't know about that. You can say that, but I don't know about if that was entertaining.
So that was fun forever.
For
yeah, that was a great
you?
Time.
Yeah, the toilet, was it fun for the bowl? Tail feathers.
No. When I was a kid, I would when my parents were going through the divorce, this is how it would show in my body, is through horrible stomach pain, so bad that I had to check to see if I had stomach cancer. I like went to a doctor and drank that like white goo or whatever. Yeah,
oh,
like
I
the
know.
Paste.
Yeah.
And
every
night,
goo.
Literally every night for like 2 years, I woke up in the middle of the night having the midnight shits for like two
so,
years, every single
I
night.
I think what was going on is not cauliflower pizza. I think you are stressed about something. Something's bumming you out. Something. And I think you probably know what it is. You probably don't want to share it with us, but something's going on. For you, because that's a total stress response. Your parents were going through a divorce. You woke up with your body. The body keeps the score, boy.
I agree, but I also think anytime I eat cheese, your boy splats.
Oh, that cauliflower pizza didn't have vegan cheese.
No, it had regular cheese.
Is dairy
so your boy
that
splatting.
Good? Just you don't care about dairy. You just get some Daiya stuff. Get the pizzas that are vegan.
Oh, they have that. With cauliflower yeah. at Whole Foods? Maybe.
But you might not have cauliflower. Check. It just might be a regular crust, but it's not going to like make... Why the cauliflower? So it's less calories, so you can eat two pizzas instead of one slice?
Three.
Yeah. Right.
Gotcha. Tricked you.
But you really got me. yeah. Do you just like love the cauliflower crust for the taste? Or it's I'm guessing it's just...
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like anything. You're substituting. I don't want the carbs. I don't want the gluten. Yeah, I want to be healthier, sure. So I eat cauliflower. Is it way healthier? Maybe not. Mentally, placebo-wise, yes, it helps me out a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes. But it sounds like you're suffering from the real cheese later on in the midnight hour, in the midnight runs.
What's that? What's that song? Midnight. Fuck, it's the guy with the beard, the white beard.
I don't know. It's the guy with the beard.
He
what
sang
did you
the
do
song,
yesterday?
Fuck, what is it?
It
what
doesn't
is
matter.
It
we do, no one
I know.
Cares. Yeah. No, it's
about
it's
sex.
Not important.
He loses his virginity to the girl, I think. Anyhow.
No. I lost my virginity 16 years ago yesterday. I realized July 13th is always a special day to me. It's when it all began. What'd you do yesterday? To
How
celebrate?
Did you lose your virginity again? What was it one more time?
A guy, a Kansas City comic who was friends with just had a girlfriend, but I, you know, was like, I just need to get this shit over with. And I really liked him and he really liked me and I felt safe and we talked about it. And it was a great losing your virginity. You know, it was like simple. I was surprised at when he came, he like ran into the bathroom really quickly, but I think it was because he had to like get the condom off or something. But I just remember the scramble to the bathroom. I was like, what just happened? But I think it's because he had to take off the condom. I don't know. I just remember being like, oh, I guess after sex, guys run to the bathroom.
Maybe he ate some dairy. Maybe not. he had this shit the whole time.
I did have
having
a string
sex with
cheese
you.
Up my puss that he took a little bite of.
I mean, a lot of
you
guys
could put
you
a
get
string
those,
cheese down your vagina, up your vagina,
easily.
I mean, I don't
you
know about easily. It's kind of like a. It's kind of like a flaccid. Penis. I say flaccid because I think that's the right way to be pronounced. I know it's flaccid.
That's wild.
I know, but I
Whatever
remember.
You just said there.
I remember Kelsey Grammer going on some show, you know, like Frasier saying that culinary should be pronounced culinary and flaccid should be pronounced flaccid because it's a double C and has a hard K sound. I think he's probably wrong, but I just wanted to throw that in there. Remember the time did I tell you I put a gummy worm up my vagina? I just had it in my puss lips so that when I was picking up ex-boyfriend up from the airport and I knew he would finger me like right away and he loved gummy worms. And so I thought it would be hilarious for him to like finger me as soon as he got in the car and then pull out a gummy worm. Like his favorite.
I mean,
candy.
That's insane.
Fun. That's funny. That's fun.
It is very funny. It is very funny. And the funniest part is it started as a gummy bear and then you put it in there. No, wait. So wait, when he
gummy crabs.
Was he turned on?
No, I don't think he was like, I think he was already turned on. So he was just like, get this thing out of the way. And like, I'm not ready to laugh. That's the thing. Guys don't like to laugh when they're horny.
I mean, that could cause a disease probably. I mean, you're throwing gummies in there. What if his flight was delayed? Would you keep it in?
No. I mean, probably. Who cares? First of all, don't tell me it's going to cause a disease. Girls get like random dicks rubbed on that. Like, you're putting stuff down there all the time. Don't tell me. And sometimes, like, a tampon, you don't know where that's been. Well, I guess it's been in packaging and then you open it, but you put things up there that are not going to be safe sometimes. Sometimes sex toys, you don't clean them properly. Like, you know me, I just, it's not going to give you any disease. I did a joke last night and it fucking worked so well, thank God, about how people will get the flu and be like, I sat next to a baby on this plane and this fucking baby, I got the flu. And it's like, or you swallowed cum. You were licking someone's balls. Could that be it? Like, it's always just like, you blame it on just, oh, this woman coughed. I mean, the joke doesn't really work as well with like COVID, but that was always funny to me when people are such germaphobes, yet they'll eat ass. It just, that's so like, oh my God, my toothbrush touched the floor. Like it fell on the floor. Like I was talking to someone about how you keep the toothbrush in the shower and how basically germ wise, that doesn't concern me because I'm sure most people would be like, that's so gross. Your body dirt rubs off. And I go, but then the water is like, that's, I'm sure his toothbrush is cleaner than ones that you leave by your sink that are like next to your toilet where it's spraying poo everywhere in the, you know, in at the midnight hour. So I bet like, I bet a germologist would come in and say, actually the shower toothbrush is probably cleaner and like less germy. But the thing about the toothbrush in the shower is just optically, it's not, I don't want my friend having his toothbrush in the shower because it just shows to me that like, that's not good self-care. It's like this simple, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a good look. But in terms of germs, I think you're right. I don't think it's a big deal at all.
I should put it on something. Sure. I should get a shelf. I'm going to order an Amazon shower shelf today. That's my goal today.
Yeah.
That's my one goal.
Okay. That's good. What else you got going today?
I got Pilates at 4 and that's about it.
Let's get to the news. I can't even. So jealous. I have a great life though. I get to dress up and put on makeup and make TV, which is so exciting. And I love it.
You could do exactly what I do, baby. You could Pilates it up today.
Well, then I couldn't pay for
everything.
You to do Pilates all day.
Well, make a decision.
You wouldn't be in that apartment if I didn't do the jobs I was
for
doing.
I would be here for another year. We could, off what you have right now, we could be here for another year.
I'm saying like I got to that place where I could afford that apartment for you to live in with me because I work these crazy hours. I'm a workaholic.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you tell yourself, but you don't have to work quite as much to afford this place.
We all know I'm making $7,000 for these 2 days of work that are 20 hours of work, and I also am spending about $9,000 to do the show. So I'm spending $2,000 to work 20 hours.
Are you saying I can't do Pilates today because you lost money today?
Yeah, I really need you. I need you to do a promo code and maybe promote them to get it half price. I saw you with a promo code.
Hey, all right.
Used it? Has anyone
get to
used
the
it?
News.
Let's get to the news.
Apparently.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
I mean, I honestly think these people stole this from you. The Bachelorette Katie Thurston pitches Operation Woo Woo, a week off whacking off.
Yeah.
Challenge against her. And fans are not loving this, apparently. They say you're sex positive, yet you're keeping guys from coming.
Yeah, so she's pretty much telling the guys on the show no more jerking off for like a week, which you can't really monitor. She's like, no more long showers, no more, you know, I don't know where else they're going to do it. And the fantasy, like, don't break into the fantasy suite before, you know, into jerk one, like into Chris Harrison's abandoned green room or whatever the fuck. You can't jerk off. You can't really monitor it. The guys are like, what? You know, they got all the reaction shots from the guys probably learning that one of, you know, from something else, you know, they're probably like, Katie's canceling the cocktail party. And all the guys are like, what? And then they took those reactions and were like, we can't jerk off. I mean, like, is a week that hard to go? A lot of people wrote me about this and was like, she's doing your thing. And I'm like, the thing is, it's so upsetting to me that I don't think this is a good idea, because the how much these guys are going to be into her, and I'm saying this for myself, is going to be based on the fact that they have a lot of cum in their balls. Like, I don't want a guy's attraction and love for me to be dependent on whether he jerked off or not. And that is essentially what attraction is. Like, it's so upsetting to me to realize that men don't like you as much when they don't have cum in their balls, when they've cum. And why would you ever allow your man to come then? Like, I don't ever want my partner to orgasm, because
you just said two different things right there.
I know, but why is, but that sucks that I have to do that. It sucks that the attraction to me is dependent on whether this guy, you know, shot out some white goo. Wait, when were you talking about white goo that you use to see if you have stomach cancer?
Doodles. I look, this is the thing. If I come, yes, I'm not going to want to fuck as much, but that doesn't take away my, and I know you're not going to believe this, but as a guy, it doesn't take away my love for the girl or me wanting to be with her or hang out with her or cuddle with her. It really doesn't take away from that.
Third one, cuddle, bullshit. You guys are so much cuddlier when they have cum in their balls. Don't tell me, I understand the love and the devotion, all that is like, still there. What I'm talking about, what I love in a relationship is
the
when a guy
wanting.
Looks at me with desire, when he, I like compliments. My love languages are compliments and physical touch. Those are two things that are, honestly, I would say 50%, at least compliments is 50%. You get more when a guy has no cum in his balls. At least 50%
more compliments. No, has cum in his balls. Has cum in his balls.
Has. And touching, I would say, goes up 1,000% if he has cum in his balls. So it just bothers me that that's the thing. And so I truly just like, I get like really bummed. I love when someone, I always like when guys come, I like to like wait to have my like fourth orgasm with them finishing. Like, I like to be like, okay, usually they're like, come one more time and then I'll come. And I'm like, no, can I like wait till you, because it's so hot to me when you do it. But at the same time, it's like, there's a little bit of sadness in me because I'm like, oh, the energy that I felt just 20 minutes ago from you, it's just not as, it's not there anymore.
Well, I guess the beauty of
but
it
I'm,
is.
My stomach's full.
He's going to re-come. You know what I mean?
It'll like, build up again, but it takes 4 days. Like, you know, it's
no,
just like,
for me, it takes 4 days. For an average male, it probably takes 2 days tops. So, yeah. So one day
wait
you're not
2 days.
Gonna, well, then that's you got to be more patient with the cum. I think you got to be more patient. I think you got to have an understanding that the love doesn't go away just because he's not complimenting me as much. I can handle that for without a day. I mean, I think what happens is you combine those two of like love for you and compliments are not the same thing.
But that's my love language. So that is how I process
love. Change
it
to Spanish or something. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know either. Noah, do you struggle with that? Like after sex, like you just find that your partner isn't as like sweet and like loving?
Yes. And we've talked about it, like in the beginning of my relationship, it definitely like raised some concern for me, but we talked about it and it's just kind of, so it's just like a buildup of his chi and, you know, and the release of it, but it has nothing to do with attraction, even though we've had many, many conversations about it. And I needed the reassurance.
About the change of mood afterwards, the change of demeanor, the overall vibe. It's girls, yeah. And also I'm sure men who date men and maybe are more like have more feminine qualities also feel this as well from their male partners who just whether or not.
But can't you say then? Oh, it's a biological thing. It happens to every guy. It's not me. It's not like. You should be able to rationalize it.
I don't think it's me.
Well, okay, well, not you. Whatever. Or like, so it's him, but it's not him. It's just biology. So then that should justify.
Like, no, I know. I have a lot of sympathy or empathy for these. Maybe more sympathy because I think that must be hard for a guy to, because you've felt it before. Andrew, I don't know what that's like to. I do know what it's like to have my attraction stop on a dime or turn. Like I'll be into someone and they'll say something or do something. And I'm like, I hate you now. Like I literally am repulsed by you. It just went from me wanting to hold your hand and be close to you to the smell of you makes me sick because you just said some, you know, you told me you voted for Trump or, you know, something like that. That's just like, oh, and that feeling sucks. When I felt that, you know, it used to be for guys who are available, I would pursue a guy who had a girlfriend or wasn't into me. Finally, he flips and he's like, I like you. And it would literally happen I remember in high school, I was in love with Doug Reese. It was like my identity. I love Dave Matthews Band and Doug Reese. Everyone knew it. He was my best friend. We hung out all the time. It was so weird. He was my best friend, but everyone knew I was in love with him and he knew and we kind of joked about it. Finally, he dumps his girlfriend and is like, I want to be with you. His best friend told me, and I remember the walk back to the parking lot after we were at Barnes & Noble, which we always went to at night and like hung out with a bunch of group of us. Matt Vandevort took me out to the parking lot and was like, Doug broke up with Catherine. And I was like, really? It was like over a year of me being like, I hate her. And like, you know, being on AIM and waiting for Marley fan with a PH because he liked Fish and Marley, Bob Marley. I'd wait for that door to open up on like the AIM and like wait for him to talk to me. And then I would see her name come on. And I hated the name Catherine forever. Even my best friend, Catherine, who I met in college, I was like, I will let it slide, but I don't like Catherine's because that was his ex-girl. I didn't even know this girl. He broke up with her. And I remember I was jumping up and down. I was like kissing Matt. I was like, he's broken up with her. Like, he was like, yeah, Nikki, he like wants to be with you. He likes you. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, he's coming up here tonight. I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, it's like I won the lottery. And then we were walking back to the cafe. And I just remember being like, I don't like him anymore. Like, I don't know what to do. Oh, fuck. And then poor Doug, who broke up with his girlfriend and like came up to be like, yeah. I'm here. I just was like, no. I just see you as a friend. I don't want anything more with you. I didn't like him. It was gone and it felt terrible and I couldn't help it. So I understand men must feel pretty bad about how they feel after they come because it just, that's got to feel weird that like I'm so into this girl and then all of a sudden it's like, ugh, God, when is she
going to leave? When you're saying this, well, then 2 days later though, you'd be into Doug again. That's the difference.
Yeah.
But, I do think like this explains like how with an orgasm you love the buildup, but the orgasm isn't as important to you. You love the buildup of dating this guy,
I like the pursuit. I like getting things. Yeah. I don't like doing things. I like finding out that I'm going to do this TV show. I like finding out that I'm going to tape this special. I don't want to actually do it because then it's like, then it's over. The excitement's over, and it's like, what's next? What's the next challenge? And but that was high school, Nikki. I've come a really long way since then. But, you know, I still have some of the same behaviors of like being attracted to men who like can't love me. And when they become available, I'm just like, and that's not true, though. Like I was scared for a while after that incident that, you know, because my first boyfriend, Chris, I was so obsessed with him for a year. Same way, like just in love. And then he finally was like, found out and was like, yeah, I'm into you too. And I remember just being like, I know this is going to be Doug Reese again. As soon as he likes me, I'm not going to like him. And I still liked him. And that was like a huge, and the reason was, is because I never really got him to like me in the way that I wanted. It was still a challenge, after he came in. So maybe I'm not healed. Next story.
Wait, but before we move on, I just want to recommend a chapter for you to read in Jonathan Haidt's The Happiness Hypothesis, mm-hmm. Obsession versus Love. I won't say anymore. No. If you read any chapter, it'll make so much sense to you.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense to me in my like college relationship. It was definitely an obsession and not love.
Yeah. But he really gets into it. It's not just like a blanket.
Jonathan Haidt, The Happiness
Hypothesis.
Okay.
A really great book on happiness.
Okay. I will check that out. And if you know me, Noah, all I want to read is one chapter of a book. So thank you. That's perfect. Yeah. What's the next story, Andrew?
Is there a cliff notes for that chapter for Nikki?
Wait a second. I just say this Katie, the bachelorette girl saying the no jerking off. It's just going to make these guys are already like having trouble jerking off and they don't get to do it that often. You're creating, well, that's what reality shows do. They create an atmosphere where everything's heightened and emotions are your emotions. You're more likely to get on your knee and propose to a woman if you haven't come for a really long time and she's the only woman you've seen.
Hilarious.
For months and months.
There's something I mean, think about marriages for the end of time. You're not supposed to have sex until you're married. It's the idea is you hold the cum in until your wedding night. Like, and then you go, What did I do?
Oh my God. Imagine how many guys, are so horny. And then that's my biggest fear is that like, I don't sleep with guys cause I don't want that energy to go away. And then when I do, I mean, I've just had really awful experiences after guys come of just being super, super mean and breaking my trust. And it's just like, I've been like really wounded by the male orgasm and also very pleased by it. But I just have a lot of trauma from men coming and then being really fucking mean to me. And I don't understand how this doesn't happen to women all the time.
We're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Cum. Like we're literally bipolar.
Dr. Jekyll,
post-cum, pre-cum.
Mr. Hide your hair so you don't get it in it because it's really a pain in the ass. Just not my hair. Next story.
All right. Sad story. However, I think the timing was good, okay. I guess. A 32-year-old influencer plummets to her death as she slips when trying to snap a pic on the edge of a waterfall.
A ledge head.
I know. Let's just give a moment of silence for this ledge head.
Did they get the video? Did she get the shot?
Went viral, baby.
Is there a picture of her like before? Because I'm guessing, she was trying to get to a ledge. Where was this?
It was only a 16-foot waterfall, though. So, I mean, in her defense, it wasn't like she was standing on a 1,000-foot one.
Yeah. And she fell and she died?
Yeah, she died in Hong Kong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
and her friends had to watch that happen. She was hiking with three friends.
Oh my God. I mean, that's so sad. It just,
Dude, this is ridiculous.
No,
dude.
No.
Oh my God.
What was her last post?
I can't even read it. It's so funny and sad. Posing on the edges of steep cliffs to her Instagram account where she includes the tagline.
Not scared.
Life should be fun, not dumb.
Oh, boy.
R.I.P. Ledgehead. We love you.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
I remember there was a video or there was photos. I love the subreddit last images because it always shows people's the last picture taken of someone before they died. And a lot of times it's just like, you know, a grandma's hand in hospice or like old people like, oh, I saw my mom before she gave, cancer got her and very sad. But some of them are like this of like, this was seconds before she slipped to her death or those really always just like intrigue me in such a sick way. There's one that I remember there were like a similar situation, teens hiking in the woods. I think this is in New York or in the East Coast somewhere. And they saw a bear, a brown bear or black, some kind of bear. And they started taking pictures of it. And then all of a sudden it started charging them. It caught their friend and mauled their friend to death. But they have the footage of the bear like looking and then walking towards them. And then like a blurry shot of like, whoa, shit, you know. And there's something about that that really, I'm so scared of bears. But because of that, they're so fast. You cannot run a bear. If you start running from a bear, kiss your life goodbye. Unless you're the guy I met on in the Cayman Islands on the set of F-Boy Island who had a crazy scar on his ankle. And I go, what is that? And he goes, I was attacked by a bear. And I go, what? And he goes, I was just running from it. And I go, when you run from a bear, you should kiss your life goodbye. I've heard that. And he was like, I did. And then my dad kicked it off or something.
Yeah, I mean, what happens, I think, is if you're filming something, you're obviously disconnected from it. So yeah. It's like you're seeing the bear on your phone. You don't see the bear in real life. Like, it's like, you
right
know what I mean?
At a concert,
like,
people looking at their phones and you go, it's right there. Why don't you look up? Yeah, the person probably tried to flip it up to go to the next TikTok to go, oh, I don't like this bear charging me. Oh, next one.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Why do
I
care?
Well, there's so many videos on TikTok of bears. Like people yelling at bear, like there was a bear in a guy's car and the guy's like, get out of my car. And the bear's like, what, dude? Like it looked like it was the bear's car. Anyways, but all right. Why do I care?
Yeah. Why do I care?
Adele buys a new mansion next door to the two homes she already owns in a swanky Beverly Hills suburb with her third purchase in 5 years, forming her own mini estate.
Damn. Hold on. Let's see. Adele number one, Adele number two, Adele number three. Wait, pull out because I think I just saw Mila and Ashton, Jennifer Lawrence. I've been here, not to brag, if it's the same place that she used to live, you know, 5-6 years ago. I've been
down the street. Yeah, she bought in 2016.
Adele
I think
did?
The article says. Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, 2016? No,
Or she bought it from Ellen or something, the article said.
Okay. Maybe I haven't been to that place. Zoe Saldana lives. These are the neighbors. Adele, Penelope Cruz, and Javier Bardem. Zoe Saldana, Jennifer Lawrence, Mila Kunis, and Ashton Kutcher. And I think also Conan lives around here, too, because Mila had some story on his show about being neighbors with Conan. And, wow, Adele is just scooping up property. I think it's so cool to buy the house next to you, to be like, we can be as loud as we want because I'm just going to buy it next to me. What did she spend after splitting up with? She bought him.
No, this is... Oh,
she bought her husband.
Yeah, this is the wild part.
She bought him a 6-bed property opposite her own home for $10.65 million so that her former spouse could still be close to their son. That's cute. I love that. Guess they're still friends.
I mean, that's wild. As a kid of divorce, like whatever, like my parents living next door to each other. The idea of that is just crazy.
But maybe like, Adele and her husband are like they just parted ways. Like they had a conscious uncoupling where it was like they still liked each other.
I mean, it's incredible.
Wouldn't that have been sweet?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been. It would have been unbelievable.
God, your parents' divorce was epic. You used to have a podcast about divorce.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was
divorce.
The idea of first of all, she's the the woman buying the guy that I mean the idea that my dad would buy a house next door to for my mom is just it's just so wild, dude. Like they couldn't be in the same fucking county, let alone God. This
but
next
it's wild
door.
Because why not? Like they once lived together. They go from like living together, making three children together to like, I can't be in the same county as you. It's like, it's so wild how much
I know
go from loving someone to hating something. Did your dad just come really hard or something? What made him want to leave?
Yeah. Into something else. Yeah.
Your dad needed fuller balls. He would have stuck around possibly.
Yeah. Or maybe too long.
Do you think there's anything to this? I mean, I understand like cheating is not just about like getting your balls drained, but like if you think your husband might like be tempted just jerk him off or like blow him before he goes to like a party where he might if Brad Pitt, if my husband was like on set with Angelina Jolie or something or like I would just demand that he jerk off in front of me before he went to set every day. Because if he had empty balls, you're going to be less attracted to your co-stars, right?
Yes, but he would also maybe find it a little annoying. So he might cheat on you for, even a worse reason for
I
just because he thinks you're annoying, not because of the cum in the balls.
They
you know what I mean?
Can't.
No, I know, but I'm saying though, like, if he did cheat on you, that would mean he really didn't like you because he cheated on you without cum in his balls.
Yeah, I always said that, like, when guys cheat and the girls, like, you know, so often someone cheats and the person does it because they want to get out of the relationship and they know it will, like, you can't come back from that. And then they tell the person and their partner's like, oh, it's, we'll get past it. And they're like, wait, what? No, like, and what I was going to say is like, what was I going to say? My point was, I know. A lot of times a guy will cheat to get out of a relationship or a girl will cheat and then tell the partner. The partner will be like, they think the partner is going to be like, I'm done with you. And you're like, I know, I fucked it up. I ruined it. And then it's like, because I cheated, that's why we broke up. But then when the partner's like, I'll forgive you, we can work through it. And the person's like, but I'm not sorry. And she's like, but you were drunk. And he's like, no, I was stone cold sober. And it's like, oh, if you get cheated on and the person that did it is sober, alcohol really does create this, like if someone's drunk and they cheat, it really does make a difference. It's got to, because people that are drunk do things that are stupid all the time that we forgive. Yeah. Oh, I was drunk. We do it all the time for like innocuous things. There would be some level of forgiveness that would make you feel better if you got cheated on if the guy was drunk. But when the guy goes, no, I was sober, it's like, oh, you just hate me? Like you...
Well, when you're sober, it's not like one... You know, a lot of people always... I forget who had a bit about it, but it was like, it's not one mistake. It's like 15 mistakes. You know what I mean? Like you got in your car. That's a mistake. You drove to that. That, you know, like everyone's always like, I made one mistake and I hooked up. It's like, no, it was all premeditated. And
you pressed the elevator button. You went past
mistake.
Your floor. You kept
mistake.
Going down there. You entered we got alone with someone that you have sexual chemistry with. That's the thing. Like
mistake.
I know someone who's never cheated and he always says he's like, I'm not different than other men. Obviously those temptations are out there on work trips all the time. He goes, but I don't want to cheat because there's too much to lose and I don't want to hurt those people. And my trick is I just am never alone. He's kind of Mike Pence-y. I just never put myself in a situation where it can happen. So like, yeah, there might be a girl that's like flirty and maybe touching his leg under a table at a business thing. He will not then find a way to accidentally be alone with that woman, because that's what so many fucking guys do, that cheat on their girlfriends at someone who has been the other woman before. These guys, they can pin it on you for like, oh, she seduced me, she came after me. You can get out of, you leave the door open. You left the door open. Don't act like, unless a woman physically jumps on top of you and you've done something to be a part of this. You know, don't put yourself in a situation where it can happen. We all know when a cheat can happen. It's when you're alone. Don't be alone.
And take the cum out of your balls if you're worried. Just take the cum out.
Let's get to our Wednesday segment. It's a new game we're going to play Noah got a board game from Esther Perel, the sex psychologist, doctor, smart person, author, podcaster. She's a podcast. She's like this badass woman who's done a ton of TED Talks. She wrote the books Mating in Captivity and State of Affairs. She's she's just very wise when it comes to sex and relationships. She has a podcast where she talks to couples, and you listen to couples in couples therapy. It's called Where Do We Begin?
Where should we begin?
Where should we begin?
Which is the same name of the game.
It's the same name as the game. This is Esther Perel's game, Where Should We Begin? And it's a game of storytelling and getting to know each other. It's a good game for like first dates or just like friends sitting around. And Noah and I were talking about it yesterday, and I thought it would be a fun game to play today because it would set us all up to tell fun stories and get to know each other a little bit better. So let's play Where Should We Begin?
Okay, so I'm just going to modify it a little bit for the podcast, but we're going to pick a prompt card. Mm-hmm. So just tell me where to stop.
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 Okay. So this is the prompt card.
Okay.
It says, share something nostalgic.
Okay.
And now I'm going to pick a question.
Okay.
That we will answer in that theme.
Something nostalgic.
God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Okay, so tell me when to stop.
Stop.
A phone number I need to delete.
Oh.
And then
okay.
Something okay. nostalgic.
Okay, nostalgic. A phone number I need to delete. Something nostalgic. I have a dead person in my phone who I need to delete because they're dead. And I also have them in my phone as don't talk to him, Nikki, because he was someone that I had disappointed me so many times and been someone that like I had hope for having more with. And I put him in my phone. So like when he would text me, it would say, don't talk to him, Nikki. Like it would remind me like whatever you're doing to convince yourself that it's going to work out this time. Don't do this. And then he died and he's still in my phone as don't talk to him, Nikki. And now I'm nostalgic for it because I was able to forgive this person before he died for always coming and then hating me afterwards and making me feel terrible. I mean, and then but guess who had the last laugh? No. So I guess I'm like, I guess that's nostalgic. It's an old fling who's now passed on. And I put him on and I probably need to delete that because it's a negative way to remember this person. But it's also, it's when it comes up, when I'm searching for Donnell Rawlings in my phone, don't talk to him, Nikki, comes up. And speaking of Donnell Rawlings, I ran into him last night and he's eager to get on the podcast and talk to, me about, he just wants to hang out. He's like, why haven't we worked together? Why are we not on a platform together doing stuff? And I was like, I don't know, Donnell. Let's do it. He was so fun last night. So nice. And so Donnell will be on the show at some point. I love him. And he was so funny last night. Anyway, Andrew, what's a phone number that you need to get rid of in your phone that is under the theme of nostalgia?
That's a good one. I would have to say, sorry. That's a tough one. I don't really know what nostalgia. I know when I'm being nostalgic, like you think, oh, I thought nostalgic meant like, oh, I've been in this room before or something.
That's deja vu.
Oh, that's deja
vu. That's just like having a memory. Nostalgia is like a sense of like the way it was. Like, oh my God, that takes me back to that time. And it really just, it like suddenly you just go.
Yeah.
A sentiment from the past.
Yes.
Okay. So I will take out this woman who I wanted her to be my comedy manager. It was like before we met. And yeah. I used to like.
Wait, am I your comedy manager or something? What, are you saying that like I'm going to be threatened? It was before we met, Nikki.
But I was like instead of like, I don't know, doing something that would cause to get a manager, I was like pretty much like not begging her to be my manager, just being like, why are you not my manager? Like, I'm just as funny. I'm just as talented. Why are you not seeing it?
Yes.
I don't talk to her anymore. I could take that number out. I don't need to go back to that feeling of desperation.
Yes.
So long.
And I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, move on. You don't need a manager.
No, I don't need a manager. I'm doing Pilates today. My manager got me into Pilates at 4.
Yeah, your manager is the manager of Plank Fitness, and she gave you a promo code to put on your story. I'm just dying to know who used Andrew Plank 2020 or whatever. And so, like, did anyone use the promo code?
Yes, we're talking about it right now. Go to Plank, PLNK, and sign up under Andrew Free Plank.
What did you get?
Sounds like free.
What did you, wait, is it really, is the promo code Andrew Free Plank?
It's something like that. Should I actually give it out?
I want to know the deal you worked out with this woman, though. Was it like you get free classes for life for that?
I get.
And did you tell her how many followers you had?
Yeah, she saw everything. I get 8 free classes a month. If I just got to put in my story, and then like once every few months, I got to make it a main post.
Okay.
So I'll do something where I'm like blowing the reformer or something. I don't know. I'll do something funny.
Okay.
But, dude, I had this thing go viral, kind of viral-ish, where I just went like this on Instagram. Did you see that little video I made on
TikTok?
Yeah, where
you were like doing a reaction to those girls. The girls were doing a reaction and then you did things.
I thought I was going to take it down after like 2 minutes because it would do so poorly and I wasn't even. And people loved it. Like, I don't understand why.
On TikTok, did it go viral or on Instagram?
On TikTok, it actually got taken down.
Oh. So where did it go viral?
On Instagram.
How does it go viral?
Viral-ish. Not viral, but
you just got more likes.
Like, yeah, it's just doing very well. Like, people reacted better to that than anything I've ever done.
Wow.
And it's just me doing the eat out sign to women.
Yeah, I saw it. I see these all the time, these reaction shots, and I'm just like so confused by what they are. But now I kind of get it. Yeah, you were just bored on the couch. You were very bored yesterday. I could tell.
I had a good day. I hit golf balls. Brennan came over. We did face. Here's the thing. If you pluck your boyfriend's eyebrows and you're doing underneath, you got to wet them first. You can't go in dry. I know women, you go through all the bad things. I get that. But she went in straight dry to do the under the eyebrow.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
Can do that. What do you mean wet them? With shave cream or what?
Wet them with a hot rag.
No.
It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. I cry. I cry a little bit. Did I ever tell you about when I got my eyebrows waxed before a wedding?
You got your back waxed before you moved to St. Louis. That was the weirdest choice. In the middle of winter, you got your back waxed right before. You thought like St. Louis like makes you take off your shirt as soon as you get in or something.
Well, there was
you
a boy
weird
here.
Things. Oh yeah, you do weird things before things.
Well, final thought here.
We got to get to Noah's nostalgia number, but yes.
Oh, sorry.
Tell me about
when you waxed your
eyebrows before a wedding.
Oh, I waxed my eyebrows, and right when she waxed the underneath, it was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And I didn't stop her. I let her do the next one. I don't know if she used, like,
she didn't wet
like hot
before.
Glue. Yeah. Dude, I
no,
was
Andrew.
Like, it was the worst
sure
pain
was
I ever
wax.
Felt. And
you
right
had
when
anal
I,
fissures. You said that was the worst pain.
Okay, second worst pain I ever felt. I felt like I had anal eyes. And so I fucking, right when it hit, I go, oh my God, this isn't good. And it was a fucking, my buddy's wedding who went to West Point. So he was there with all these army guys. And I show up with the most absurd metrosexual eyebrows.
Oh,
because
you thought you were
going to
meet a
still.
Girl there. Oh,
they're
no.
Still bleeding.
They're bleeding?
Like, I look like Mike Tyson.
Is there any pictures from this wedding that we can find?
So
please.
I'm wearing sunglasses.
Are you still friends with this
at
guy?
Night.
Damn
I'm wearing
it,
sunglasses at night. And then Rusty, my buddy Rusty's going up to everyone at the wedding going, you got to see these eyebrows. I was trying to be incognito.
I love Rusty so much. I love that you didn't let you off the hook for it. I can't. They're just so funny, Andrew. Like, even your Instagram that I wanted to call you out for being kuh the other day, like, you look into the camera, like, I just call you out. I know you think it's a joke, but I do truly think that you're, like, trying to be seductive.
Yeah, but you do the same stuff. What are you talking about? You're standing on stairs with a guitar. With your legs
out.
I mean, you look cool. Okay.
But mine's not a selfie in the mirror.
Yeah, it's the selfie, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a doofy.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's just like, I get like uncomfortable at the face you make to yourself in the mirror when you're, within that shot where you like looked like a nurse.
I agree.
It was just
agree.
You were just trying so hard to look sexy. It's not, but like this picture makes me furious. It just, I can't
I look
handle
great,
it.
Though. I look good.
But, like, just send it to Brenna then. Like, what, like...
I did before.
A selfie is just... That's who you took it for. I knew it was. And now you put
it
for all of
thing.
Us. It's too vulnerable. I don't want to see that side of you.
Nick,
it's so weird.
Nick, I did it because I knew it set up the male nurse outfit. Like, my idea is, like, look as normal and, like, whatever. And then the third thing is, like, oh, your male nurse outfit. Like, it sets up that joke to me. It's, like, the
right.
setup.
Right. Okay.
That's how I looked at it.
I just love that you, like, work so hard to, like, do a cool pose in the second one, like, in your room. Like, you're kind of, like, putting your hands together, like, hey, man, like, telling a story. But you're by yourself. You set the timer. You had to, like, scramble over there. And also, all of the chaos that's happening behind you. Your room is... a mess in the back. Like you did. It's just a guy that's like so casual and cool, but his room is a fucking die in the background. Like it, the juxtaposition, you're not even meaning to be funny here, but like this guy, that face is not the guy that also has this trash collected in the four corners. Like that okay, trash yes, and that man are true. Not the same thing.
True. True.
You couldn't bother yourself to pick up these cords and just brush them out of the
I did really like that outfit. And yeah. I'm still going to rock that outfit. I think it's a great stage outfit. But 40 people wrote, "You look like a male nurse." I had no idea.
And then you reposted it and changed it to the nurse thing?
Yeah. No.
So you originally
then
posted
I made
it
a main post.
No, I
had it in my story. Sorry.
So you posted it with no joke. You just were trying to be sweet looking.
I just wanted people to be, I said, I'm monochroming to your town. Like monochroming.
Okay, I got it. Okay. I give you shit, but you're right. It's the same stuff that I do when I post pictures where I look hot. Except that like, you know, yesterday I took pictures that were just as like selfie and self-indulgent as those where I'm like posing and I look the hottest I've ever looked in my life. And if I put them on Instagram, I would get me more likes than I've ever gotten in my life. I look amazing.
You took them yourself? You took them yourself?
Yeah, because, I took them in my green room myself. Honestly, it's the best photo shoot I've done. I sent them to my stylist and they were like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm really good. Like, yeah, I'll show you some. They're fucking amazing. And I won't post them because they're too sexy. And they're too like, and I was by myself. If someone else would have taken them, I would be fine with it. But because I took them.
See, that's the difference. Like, I don't get
weirded out
about
taking. But I made it look like I
didn't
take them.
Yeah, but I don't get weirded out by taking a selfie. I do get weirded out by asking people to take photos of me. Like, you love that.
I'd rather, it's not as embarrassing as a selfie. A selfie when you're like
for
pretending
me
to
is.
Look
I don't know
like
why.
That.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you gotta post that. What are you doing?
I mean, I know. I'm just on a chair trying to get my whole look in because I couldn't do the whole look. I'm in my, and it looks
yeah,
like I'm just
hot.
Having a conversation, but I'm not. I'm honestly by myself. I look like I'm looking at someone. Wait, let me show you this one. This one's so
freaking. Make that joke. So to say that in the caption. Say I
no,
took
because
this.
Then you're doing the thing own where it. You're being sexy and you act like you're not like these. I didn't. Yeah. So I'm not going to post this, but I did take them because the guy that I'm hooking up with, I wanted to send them to him. Like they're not yeah. for everyone, even though they would get me a ton of likes. No,
I'll tell
we
you
didn't
what.
Get
side
to your,
tit,
we didn't get
side
to your number.
Tit's great. I love side tit.
That's, yeah, that's I've got
side
a lot
tit
of tit
and under tit
because
are
of my period. I gotta go and change a tamp tamp before my glam squad gets
worm.
Here. I gotta change the old string cheese. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be here tomorrow on the show. I can't wait to tell you about my long ass day today. Pray for me. I love you so much for listening. And no, I'm sorry we didn't get to your nostalgic number. And we didn't know what nostalgia was. It was all very confusing. But I do want to play that game again. I think it's going to be really fun for the show. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you tomorrow on the podcast. Don't be cut and
jackfruit.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Diamonds Direct spring sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.